Chapter 3, The Story of You. For thousands of years, humans have tried to understand the universe, nature, and mainly human nature. It's amazing to observe humans in action all around the world, in all the different places and cultures that exist on this beautiful planet Earth. Humans make a lot of effort to understand, but in doing so, we also make a lot of assumptions. As artists, we distort the truth and create the most amazing theories. We create entire philosophies and the most amazing religions. We create stories and superstitions about everything, including ourselves. And this is exactly the main point. We create them. Humans are born with the power of creation, and we are constantly creating stories with the words that we learned. Every one of us uses the word to form our opinions, to express our point of view. Countless events are happening all around us, and using the attention, we have the capacity to put all these events together in a story. We create the story of our own life, the story of our family, the story of our community, the story of our country, the story of humanity, the story of the entire world. Every one of us has a story that we share, a message that we deliver to ourselves and to everyone and everything around us. You were programmed to deliver a message, and the creation of that message is your greatest art. What is the message? Your life. With that message, you create mainly the story of you, and then a story about everything you perceive. You create an entire virtual reality in your mind, and you live in that reality. When you think, you're thinking in your language. You're repeating in your mind all those symbols that mean something to you. You're giving yourself a message, and that message is the truth for you, because you believe that it's the truth. The story of you is everything that you know about you. And when I say this, I'm talking to you knowledge, what you believe you are, not to you, the human, what you really are. As you can see, I make a distinction between you and you, because one of you is real, and one of you is not real. You, the physical human, are real. You are the truth. You, knowledge, you're not real. You're virtual. You only exist because of the agreements you made with yourself and with the other humans around you. You, knowledge, come from the symbols you hear in your head, from all the opinions of the people you love, the people you don't love, the people you know, and mostly the people you'll never know. Who is talking in your head? You make the assumption that it's you. But if you're the one who is talking, then who's listening? You, knowledge, are the one who is talking in your head, telling you what you are. You, the human, are listening. But you, the human, existed long before you had knowledge. You existed long before you understood all those symbols, before you learned to speak, and just like any child, before he or she learns to speak, you were completely authentic. You didn't pretend to be what you are not. Without even knowing it, you trusted yourself completely. You loved yourself completely. Before you learned knowledge, you were totally free to be what you really are, because all those opinions and stories from other humans were not in your head already. Your mind is full of knowledge, but how are you using that knowledge? How are you using the word when it comes to describing yourself? When you look at yourself in a mirror, do you like what you see? Or do you judge your body and use all those symbols to tell yourself lies? Is it really true that you are too short or too tall, too heavy or too thin, Is it really true that you are not beautiful? Is it really true that you're not perfect just the way you are? Can you see all the judgments that you have about yourself? Every judgment is just an opinion. It's just a point of view. And that point of view wasn't there when you were born. Everything you think about yourself, everything you believe about yourself is because you learned it. You learned the opinions from mom, dad, siblings, and society. They sent all those images of how a body should look. They expressed all those opinions about the way you are, the way you are not, the way you should be. They delivered a message, and you agreed with that message. And now you think so many things about what you are. But are they the truth? You see, the problem is not really knowledge. The problem is believing in a distortion of knowledge, and that's what we call a lie. What is the truth and what is a lie? What is real and what is virtual? Can you see the difference? Or do you believe that voice in your head every time it speaks and distorts the truth while assuring you that what you believe is the way things really are? Is it really true that you're not a good human and that you'll never be good enough? Is it really true that you don't deserve to be happy? Is it really true that you're not worthy of love? Remember when a tree was no longer just a tree? Once you learn a language, you interpret a tree and judge a tree according to everything that you know. That's when a tree becomes the beautiful tree, the ugly tree, the scary tree, the wonderful tree. Well, you do the same thing with yourself. You interpret yourself and judge yourself according to everything that you know. That's when you become the good human, the bad human, the guilty one, the crazy one, the powerful one, the weak one, the beautiful one, the ugly one. You are what you believe you are. Then the first question is, what do you believe you are? If you use your awareness, you'll see everything you believe. And this is how you live your life. Your life is totally dominated by the system of beliefs that you learned. Whatever you believe is creating the story that you're experiencing. Whatever you believe is creating the emotions that you're experiencing. And you may really want to believe that you are what you believe, but that image is completely false. It's not you. The real you is unique and it's beyond everything that you know, because the real you is the truth. You, the human, are the truth. Your physical presence is real. What you believe about yourself is not real. And it's not important unless you want to create a better story for yourself. Truth or fiction, either way, the story that you're creating is a work of art. It's a wonderful story, a beautiful story, but it's just a story. And it's as close to the truth as you can get by using symbols. As an artist, there is no right or wrong way to create your art. There's just beauty or there's not beauty. There's happiness or there's not happiness. If you believe yourself to be an artist, then everything becomes possible again. Words are your paintbrush, and your life is the canvas. You can paint whatever you want to paint. You can even copy another artist's work. But what you express with your paintbrush is the way you see yourself, the way you see the entire reality. What you paint is your life. And how it looks will depend on how you are using the word. When you realize this, it may dawn on you that the word is a powerful tool for creation. When you learn to use that tool with awareness, you can make history with the word. What history? Your life's history, of course. The story of you. This brings us to the first and most important of the four agreements. Be impeccable with your word. The word is your power of creation, and that power can be used in more than one direction. One direction is impeccability, where the word creates a beautiful story, your personal heaven on earth. The other direction is misuse of the word, where the word destroys everything around you and creates your personal hell. The word, as a symbol, has the magic and power of creation because it can reproduce an image, an idea, a feeling, or an entire story in your imagination. Just hearing the word horse can reproduce an entire image in your mind. That's the power of a symbol. But it can even be more powerful than that. Just by saying two words, the Godfather, a whole movie can appear in your mind. This is your magic, your power of creation, and it begins with the word. Perhaps you can understand why the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." According to many religions, in the beginning nothing existed, and the very first thing that God created was the messenger, the angel who delivers a message. You may understand the need for something that could transfer information from one place to another. Of course, from nowhere to nowhere seems a little complicated, but it's very simple at the same time. In the very beginning, God created the Word, and the Word is a messenger. Then, if God created the Word to deliver a message, and if the Word is a messenger, then that is what you are, a messenger, an angel. The Word exists because of a force that we call life, intent, or God. The Word is the force. It is the intent. And that's why our intent manifests through the Word, no matter what language we speak. The Word is so important in the creation of everything, because the messenger starts to deliver messages, and the entire creation appears out of nowhere. Remember God and Adam talking and walking together? God creates reality, and we recreate reality with the Word. The virtual reality that we create is a reflection of reality. It's our interpretation of reality by use of the Word. Nothing can exist without the Word, because the Word is what we use to create everything that we know. If you notice, I'm changing all the symbols on purpose, so you can see that the different expressions mean the exact same thing. The symbols can change, but the meaning is the same in all the different traditions around the world. If you listen to the intent behind the symbols, you will understand what I'm trying to say. Impeccability of the Word is so important because the Word is you, the messenger. The Word is all about the message you deliver, not just to everyone and everything around you, but the message you deliver to yourself. You're telling yourself a story, but is it the truth? If you're using the Word to create a story with self-judgment and self-rejection, then you're using the Word against yourself, and you're not being impeccable. When you're impeccable, you're not going to tell yourself, "I'm old, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm never going to make it in life." You're not going to use your knowledge against yourself, which means your voice of knowledge is not going to use the Word to judge you, find you guilty, and punish you. Your mind is so powerful that it perceives the story that you create. If you create self-judgment, you create inner conflict that's nothing but a nightmare. Your happiness is up to you, and it depends on how you use the Word. If you get angry and use the word to send emotional poison to someone else, it appears that you're using the word against that person. But you're really using the word against yourself. That action is going to create a like reaction, and that person is going to go against you. If you insult someone, that person may even harm you in response. If you use the word to create a conflict in which your body may be injured, of course it's against you. Be impeccable with your word really means never use the power of the word against yourself. When you're impeccable with your word, you never betray yourself. You never use the word to gossip about yourself or to spread emotional poison by gossiping about other people. Gossiping is the main form of communication in human society, and we learn how to gossip by agreement. When we are children, we hear the adults around us gossiping about themselves and giving their opinions about other people, including people they don't even know. But now you're aware that our opinions are not the truth. They're just a point of view. Remember, you're the creator of your own life story. If you use the word impeccably, just imagine the story that you're going to create for yourself. You're going to use the word in the direction of truth and love for yourself. You're going to use the word to express the truth in every thought, in every action, in every word you use to describe yourself, to describe your own life story. And what will be the result? An extraordinarily beautiful life. In other words, you're going to be happy. As you can see, impeccability of the word goes much deeper than it seems. The word is pure magic. And when you adopt the first agreement, magic just happens in your life. Your intentions and desires come easily because there's no resistance. There's no fear. There's only love. You're at peace and you create a life of freedom and fulfillment in every way. Just this one agreement is enough to completely transform your life into your personal heaven. Always be aware of how you're using the word, and be impeccable with your word.